Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Well, happy Labor Day weekend to all of you. We're looking at Psalm 90 this morning, and we'll get there. So the Psalms are interesting because they really give us insight into the way a particular person is responding to life. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we would build our theology around all the words of the Psalms, because we find really some pretty negative stuff, because this is the way people are reacting to what's going on in their life. So we find references to God break their teeth of my enemies and destroy them and wipe them out. And of course, Jesus comes along then and says, love your enemies. So it's good to remember that the Psalms are really about a person reacting from their own perspective on life. And I think that's one of the things that helps connect us with them. Because as much as we'd like to pretend that we're always up and we're always responding the way we ought to be responding, we really identify with a lot of that negative stuff. Or is it just me? No? You think, yeah, break their teeth. Well, anyway, and the Psalms are a lot about, you hear about a lot of calling out to the Lord, kind of in desperation sometimes, or like as maybe a last resort, or and they come from sometimes a feeling of hopelessness. And we kid ourselves if we don't realize that we're in those places sometimes. You ever been in a place in your life that you just kind of feel like you're grinding? You're just keeping up and getting through it. So we all have those times. So we identify with the Psalms. We just finished, before we started looking at the Psalms, a series about finding your place. In fact, a lot of us went through a book called Finding Your Place, which was about spiritual gifting and a calling. But it was also about story. In other words, finding our own story in God's story. And even if you're not looking at spiritual gifts in that, it's a good thing to do once in a while to look back at your story. Think about how God's brought you to the place that you're at right now. So, there's an epic story laid out before us that stretches from before creation into the time of some generation that we don't see or know. God's story is one of love and redemption, not just of a chosen few people, but of the entire cosmos. It's a big story. Within that span is a brief blink that is our own time. We find ourselves living in this intersection of God's time and our time, trying to make sense of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words that you've preserved for us. We pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us today. Apply this to our lives. Open our hearts in Jesus' name. So Psalm 90, a psalm of Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as in a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath, we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your watch. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I know I've read this before, and I never really paid much attention to the second verse where the psalmist Moses is talking about God being, he says, God is our dwelling place. He says, you have been our dwelling place, the place we lived, as though our own life were contained in his life. He goes on and talks about before the mountains were brought forth. In other words, back further than we can imagine. Or ever even that the earth was formed. And then he says, from everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting this way, everlasting this way. So when we find ourselves with that kind of reference, we sometimes struggle finding significance in the blink of the eye that is our own story. In Colossians 3:3, I read it, it says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I never before really saw the relationship between that idea and God's life, God being our dwelling place, all the way back with Moses. That there was a vision or an understanding there that his life really took place within God's life. And then we find after Christ, we find that all of our own life, it says, is hidden in him. That's where our life is. So our story is a part of a bigger story. You could say that our life is engulfed in his life or contained within his life. When we compare the incomprehensible breadth of God's time to our own short, troubled appearance, in the great story we are often confounded and speechless. Our own time flashes by and is gone in a moment. Have any of you noticed that the older you get, the faster time seems to go? I think that because it's proportionately greater. In other words, you know, he said you have 70, maybe 80 years, and that's not even guaranteed, right? I already made the 70, you know, and I'm hopeful for the 80, but even at that, that's only 10% of my life left, if I live that long, and who knows? So it goes fast, and we kind of find ourselves in the minutiae of daily life, the kind of daily grind, the stuff you got to do. And somehow we kind of lose the big picture. Especially, I know Chad talked last week about this being a patience training. Because it seems especially long and kind of hard to identify when it seems like we're always waiting for God to do something. That we maybe have a vision, we have an idea, we have inspiration, but it's not now. Wait. And we don't have that much time, do we? You know, when we go back and look at our story, like I was talking about, when you kind of look at all the points along your life that had impact, or maybe were turning points in your life, a lot of them weren't big happenings. They were small things that happened that made an impact on you. But in between all of that is a whole lot of time we can't even remember. Yet here we are. In trying to see how my story fits within the overwhelming vastness of his story, I sometimes become disillusioned and discouraged. I want to see relevance and significance. Significance. In a book called, I can't remember the name of the book now, so never mind. Man's Search for Meaning. And I even forgot who wrote it, actually. Frankl, that's right. They actually studied people that survived concentration camps and being in really deprived situations. And the ones that survived and sometimes even thrived were people who could find meaning in their life. In other words, a meaning for what they were going through. So for us to live a life that is motivating and sustains us, it's important that we see significance in the life that we're living. Because it's easy to just think, what does it really matter? I don't see any significance in my life. In this little tiny wheeze in the big picture. But we're not alone. In all of history, people of faith have found themselves living in the tension between what has been promised and their own current reality. To recognize that the Psalms call us to pray and sing at the intersection of the times, of our time and God's time, of the then and now and the not yet, is to understand how those emotions are to be held within the rhythm of a life lived in God's presence. So even though we know that our lives being hid in Christ is a present reality, it isn't something that needs to happen someday. It's something that's already been accomplished in Christ. That's where our life is in Him. And yet we live in hope, don't we? Because we see things that are eventually going to change and be different. That the cosmos truly is going to be completely redeemed. That the kingdom of God will be on earth. But there still is that not yet quality of possessing, but yet not quite grasping. Of living always in hope, but not realizing the final outcome. So we live in that tension. We live in the tension between a world in which all has been accomplished in Christ and a world that is still waiting for ultimate redemption. This is from Acts 1. In verse 7, when Jesus last speaks to the disciples on earth before the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they have a question for Jesus. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, that's really a follow-up question. Because when he came into Jerusalem triumphantly, there were a lot of them thinking, okay, so now the promise is fulfilled. That this is the end. That the Messiah will set up an earthly reign and all of God's enemies will be put down. We will have arrived. But Jesus said, not so fast. So they ask again now. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So, as God many times does, his answer to the question is not to answer the question. You know, sometimes we just get left with an unanswered question. And it might be, just might be, because we're not asking the right question. Because Jesus kind of steps right past the question and says, "You are going to be in this world as I have been." you're going to receive the Holy Spirit as I have received the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't do anything on our own. We receive the Holy Spirit because Jesus received the Holy Spirit. Our life is in Him. Our ability to receive the Holy Spirit was because Jesus received the Holy Spirit. So He sends us on to live a life in this world as He did. And Jesus' life was full of day-to-day minutiae. We don't see a lot of it recorded, but He was walking places and talking to people, and He was, in a sense, kind of trapped in time, as we are, to a particular place. So He doesn't really answer the question. So we're looking for something big and powerful to give significance to the daily grind, the minutiae of our life that we seem to, if you think about it, we waste a lot of time. It's just gone. But the significance in our life comes from God's involvement in the minutiae of our life. It's not big picture. It's the little times of waiting. It's the little times of thinking, oh my gosh, I'm just going through this life. Does it really mean anything? It doesn't seem to be a big picture thing. I mean, how many of you feel like you are an actor in a really big production? Well, I didn't talk anyone out of that, did I? There's a hand. Good. And of course, when we look at our lives in Christ, we can see that. But we still live in that tension of, yes, it's all done, but not yet. So let's go back to verse 12. We have kind of the plea of the heart of Moses. It's almost depressing to read some of it. He says our life ends with like a, you know, that sounds kind of pitiful actually. Like it's just like the end of our life is like a sigh. Almost like, whew, it's over, you know, made it through or whatever. But then their request. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So we can gain wisdom for this seeming interminable waiting period of yes, now, but not yet. Number our days. Help us see the reality of how much time we have. It's a short time. We only have so much that we can do. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. C- God, help us to find satisfaction in our daily relationship with you. Experience love and relationship, both on a personal level and in community. Because community helps us see what's really happening with that relationship. I know we have goals and visions. I mean, we have it personally. We have it at a church. And yet we don't always see things happening the way we would like them to happen. But you know, as we get involved with other people, we get to share in their experience, in their relationship, what God's doing in their life, the reality of that. So it's important in this time that we are enjoying and experiencing the joy of a day-to-day relationship with Him. Whatever that takes for you. If that means going on long walks in the countryside and meditating, great. Whatever works. If it happens in relationships with you. So that He satisfies us in His love. That we experience His love that way. Secondly, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. That we ask God that we can see what He's doing. And not just for ourselves, but that it would be like a heritage for our children. That God would make us aware of what He's doing. Because He's doing some big picture things, as well as little picture things. So satisfy us in our relationship and our relationships. Allow us to be witnesses of His power and work. Just give us eyes to see that He's doing things. You know, a lot of the Psalms start out with kind of a negative. But there is a perspective shift where we begin seeing things from a different perspective. Ask God to show you in the places that seem like infertile ground, where nothing's happening, nothing's growing. Ask Him to show you what He's doing. To see beyond that. If I can have the worship team come back up. In the last verse, he says, let the favor of the Lord, our God, be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So what does that mean? In the meantime, whether you have a good attitude or a bad attitude or a right perspective or wrong perspective, you're going to be doing something. Right? Maybe it's just the daily grind. Maybe it's something you feel you're called to. Maybe it's ministry that hasn't borne fruit yet. But you're going to be doing something. The work of your hands. So we pray that God will bless what we're doing. Even when what we're doing doesn't look like, you know, a work for the kingdom. Maybe it's driving a truck or whatever. That God would bless the work of our hands. So three things, as we're in that kind of place where we're trying to see how our story would fit in God's big story. Find satisfaction in daily relationship. Ask God to see what he's doing, and that he would show us himself in the tasks that we're doing. Let's pray. Father, thank you that it's not the significance of the works that really gives significance. It's your involvement in what we do. It's your involvement in the daily grind, in our daily lives, even in the questions and the misunderstanding, Lord. It's your presence in those things, in our story, that gives significance. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And so we close our service this morning by responding to God's word proclaimed to us with an offering of our faith in prayer. If you heard good news this morning, I encourage you to respond and join with us in this prayer. And then we'd love to hear about your story afterwards. But let's join together. Let's pray this prayer that we pray every week, but something that reminds us of what it means to live in between what God has done and what he promises to fulfill, the now and the not yet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name I pray and trust. Amen. Now as you go from this place, receive this benediction. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Friends, go in peace. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.